actually the benefit when you learn, especially when you learn Mishnah or Talmud. So there's a benefit to knowing a little bit about the history of the Masorah, because very often when you want to know who might be a bar plukta of whom, who might normally argue with another person, who normally not argue on another person, right? And also how people are related in terms of Rebbe and Talmud. Right? And the Rambam stresses the importance of this at the end of the introduction to the Parish of Mishnayot, where he has, I think there's 10 or so appendices, I forget the exact number, where he basically tells you, certain things that you should know, that you should remember about the Chachamim, like who's a student of whom, and who is whose teacher, right? So certain things are good to know. So talking about, just in terms of strategies of memory, the first thing that you're supposed to do is sort of have a skeleton outline, to remember, which is easy to commit to memory, and then from there you build your memories. So you're saying there's a few key moments. So certainly, you should know the beginning of the Masorah is Moshe Rabbeinu, and then to Yehoshua, and then after that, Zizekinim, right? And then after that, it basically goes to the Nevi'im, which is basically all the Nevi'im who are talked about in Nevi'im Rishonim, Nevi'im Acharonim. And then you get to the period of Ezra. And last time we were talking about why the period of Ezra is so significant, because that was when people came back from after Chorban Bayis. So then, and then from Ezra, basically, it's useful to be able to chart the Masorah in a basic way through the period of the Tanayim, and then after that should be the first thing you commit to memory, and then after that is the period of the Amorayim. So in the period of, and there are certain strategies that you could use to remember, so some things you just have to commit to memory. But other things, you don't necessarily have to always remember all the names. For example, so we know Ezra, the next person in line in the Masorah was Shimon HaTzadik, who was part of the Anshei Knesset HaGadol 120, and he was the last one. And then Shimon HaTzadik, so he gave it to Anshei Knesset Yishtoko. So, as a the mnemonic, and really as a Greek name, that was during the period of the Greeks. Right? So, 3rd or 2nd century before the coming of it. So, and then from there, there was what's called the four zugos, so the four pairs. Those talked about together. So, basically chain of Masorah going down four generations. And then the last of the zugos, so the Rambam, so you skip to the Rambam, where it says, Antigno Shisoko, Bezdino, Kibbul, Meshim, and Atataka, Bezdino. Right? Fine. So then you have the four zugos. So you have Yosi ben Yoezer, and Yosef ben Yochanan, so they go Yishur Jalan, they go together. That's the number one. Then you have Yoshua ben Karachi and Isaiah Bevi. That's number two. And then you have Yehuda ben Tabai and Shimon ben Shetach. That's three. And then you have and the fourth is Shemaya Natalia. Right? And then so that was the last of these four pairs. And then basically we move to a period of history that we're more familiar with reading Mishnah, which is Hillel and Shammai. Okay? And once you get to Hillel and Shammai, then it becomes very easy to memorize the Masorah. In other words, basically there's a few things you've got to commit to memory, which is difficult. In other words, you have to commit to memory Ezra, then Shimon, then Atignus Yishtoko, the four Zugos, then Shammai and Hillel, and then from Shammai and Hillel, basically the way the Masorah works is it's the descendants of the Nasir, the head of the Sanhedrin, almost always down the line, there's a few exceptions, are the descendants of Hillel, right? So there's Hillel, Shimon his son, and Gamliel his son, and Shimon. Those four generations are the last 100 years of the second base of Mikdash. Right? So you basically have Hillel, Shimon, Gamliel, Shimon. Right? So then you move up to a period which is very significant, and if you look in Pirkei Avos, you can see that it's very significant. And that's the period of Yavne. Right? In other words, when after the Beit HaMikdash was destroyed, so they had to move to Yavne, which was, right, so in order, because they couldn't have the Sanhedrin anymore in Yerushalayim. It's dangerous to the Romans. Right? So, and who everybody knows, who's the famous person who led the Jewish people? Right? Yochanan ben Zakkai. So he led the Sanhedrin for a few years, but he liked this idea that the Nasi had always had been the descendants of Hillel, who was a descendant of David Melech. Right? So, he, you know, give some feeling of leadership to the people. So he gave over, he said, Rabban Gamliel, the son of Rabbi Shimon, the son of Gamliel, the son of Shimon, the son of Hillel, so who they called Rabban Gamliel of Yavne. Right? So now Rabban Gamliel of Yavne, he took over as Nasi, and his grandson is Rabbi Huda Nasi. Right? And of course, Rabbi Huda Nasi, guess what his father's name was? Shimon, right? So it goes, Shimon Gamliel Shimon, and Gamliel of Yavne, his son Shimon, then Rabbi Huda Nasi. In other words, if you just review these things in this way to yourself, and you pick, you know, you basically try to find things that are easier to remember, then you can commit the entire thing to memory, and then you have the basic chain of the Mesorah all the way up to Rabbi Huda Nasi. And that basically, and then from there you expand your memory. Because those are the leaders of those generations. And then you build your memories, you try to figure, you know, you try to remember who were the, you know, in that generation, who were the other, you know, who were their colleagues, in other words. So the point is, are the colleagues, because of the Mishnah, but, you know, who's going to be speaking to who, right? In other words, so Rabbi, you know, so Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Yeshua, Rabbi Eliezer, all these people were living at the same time. That's important to know, right? So that's where, so the Rambam comes in, and he says, So you see where it says Chamisha Talmidim Hayulo? Chamisha Talmidim Hayulo Rabban Yochanan ben Zakkai? You see that? Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's very important to know who people's colleagues are. So you say Chamisha Talmidim Hayulo Rabban Yochanan ben Zakkai. Of course, you have more than five students. These are five of his top students. Right? So Rabbi Eliezer of Gadol, Rabbi Yeshua, Rabbi Yosef Cohen, Rabbi Shimon ben Nisano, Rabbi Lazar ben Arach. Right? And then after that, then he goes, Rabbi Akiva, he was pretty important, right? Rabbi Akiva ben Yosef, he was from Eliezer and Gadol, right? In other words, the first of the five students of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. And then all these people lived at the same time, they're all in the same basin, right? The Yosef, other Gershon, Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Meir, ben Gershon, Kibu, Rabbi Akiva, Rezanaya, Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Meir. In other words, some, you know, here he's building out the branches of the Masara. Sometimes it doesn't go in a straight line down. You can build out the branches, who's talmud. Okay, and then from here, you basically have to, right, so you could follow your own derech. You know, just give you, I want to give you a couple of pointers. But what becomes extremely important to focus in on the Rambam here is where you get to, well, let's just skip to Rabban Gamliel HaZakeh and Kido Me Rabban Shimon. Yeah, you see this? So we're going back to the... It was after he went on the side point about Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, right? So now he... Because Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, even though he was the Nasi after Shimon ben Gamliel, so even though he was the Nasi, so... But he was still... He was actually a student of Hillel, right? In other words, even though he was the Nasi... I guess about four generations later, he happened then. He was the student of Hillel, right? So you know, he's obviously very old when the Beit HaMikdash was destroyed. So all right. So you see what Rabbi Gamliel Hazak and Shibam Rabbi Shimon and others. You see it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So right. So he received it from Rabbi Shimon and others. The no-shell Hillel Hazak. Right. So Hillel Shimon Gamliel. And then Rabbi Shimon the no Shibam Nana. So now we have, right, Hillel, Shimon, Gamliel, Shimon. Rabban Gamliel, Benel, Shibam, Nana. Okay, so Shimon, Gamliel, Shimon, Gamliel. Okay, back to, right, and then Shimon received from Rabban Gamliel, Yavne. And Rabbi Yehuda, right, the grandson of Rabban Gamliel of Yavne, So the notion of Rabban Shimon, who's the son of Rabban Shimon, Zehu and Mikra Rabbeinu HaKadosh. He was who was called Rabbeinu HaKadosh. Ruhutibel Me'adim. He received it from his father, Umirab Alazar ben Shemoa, or the Shemoa, right? Umirab Shimon Chavira, right? Also from Rabban Shimon. Rabbeinu HaKadosh Chiber HaMishnah. Okay. So now here's where it becomes very, right, here's where things take an interesting turn, right? So he compiled the Mishnah, right? So this is not an insignificant point. So here the Rambam digresses, right? To talk a little bit about the Mishnah, right? But before we go into that, so we left off last time with another question, right? So we were talking about, there was three things that were talked about, right? So from that, oh, let's go back to Moshe Rabbeinu, right? So we were able to trace the Masora from Moshe Rabbeinu to Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi, where something is about to change in the nature of the transmission of Torah Shabbat Pat, right? So, but when you back by Moshe Rabbeinu, so it says what? So it said he did three things. So it said he. Where is that? He said, I'll go back to Acho Kishol Nifteva Torah Shabbat Pei. You guys see that? Way back. Acho Kishol Nifteva Torah Shabbat Pei. You see that? Lomba Moshe Rabbeinu Kula B'Dei Shino V'Shivim Zekein. There you see it? So, basically, he says it's Lomba Moshe Rabbeinu. So he taught it all in his base into the 70 elders. The Elazar Pinchas Yeshua, Shalashim Kiblu Mimosha. So these three guys, Elazar, Pinchas, and Yeshua, the three of them received it from Moshe. So Yeshua, the Talmidu Shal Moshe Rabbeinu, Moser Torah Shabbat Peh, the Sivah Lalaha. Okay, so Moser gave it over to him, and he commanded him on it. So we have three things. So one is Lomda, or as Moshe Rabbeinu taught it to the Shibim Zakenim. Now, of course, including the Shimon Zakenim were Pinchas, Elazar, and Yeshua, but they weren't only taught it, but also they were kiblu Moshe. They received it from Moshe. Sounds like something more than just having learned it. And then Yeshua, who was in all, you know, both of the top secrets, so he was part of the Shimon Zakenim, and he was one of those three who were kiblu Moshe. So he was the Talmud of Moshe, so Masar Torah Shabbat Peh, so we get over the Torah Shabbat Peh to him, right? Masorah, Masar, Mitzivah Lalaha, and commanded him on it, right? So the question is, what are these three things, right? So we have teaching, which is Lamda, which is done through the Shivan of Zakenim. We have the group of three people, Pinchas, Elazar, and Yeshua, Kiblu, and then we have Yeshua. Not only was he taught it, not only Kiblu, right, so, but also Moshe Rabbeinu was Masar, the Torah Shabbat Peh to him, and Sivah Lalaha, he commanded him, right? So, basic question is, what is the Rambam talking about, right? What are these three things, right? In other words, all I'm familiar with is learning something, right? To learn something from somebody, you can have different levels of mastery of something, right? You could know something better, you know something worse, but these terms are very, very foreign. So what is this, right? Masar means to give over, right? Right, to pass it on, right? So that's the basic question. So it's a very difficult question, right? So, well, let's see what we can come up with, okay? Every other step that Rambam describes in the Masorah, see, it's a good thing we read on a little bit, right? Get a little bit more bikinis to base our question on. So every other time it says kiblu, right? Kibel, right? And it's received. Whereas here, the Rambam has four different terms for what seems to be one thing, right? So what are these four? What are these four different terms? Nowhere else do we have Lomda, or nowhere else do we have, what do you call it, Masar, and nowhere else do we have Tzivah, right? You think of the chain of the Masorah, you see the word Masar more often, right? But no. Right. Also, I mean, there's another difference here. Kiblu, I mean, let's talk about the terms. Kiblu means mitzah, the person, in other words, the person receiving. So it's your receptive. And it's the passive activity, of course. I mean to say that there's nothing involved in the activity, right? But you're receiving. Whereas, in other words, you're focused on, that's the end you're focusing on, right? Whereas, Masar or Zivahu or Lamda, those are all mitzad the teacher. Right? In other words, Kibel's mitzad the students, and the other three terms are mitzad the teacher. Right? Lamda, teach, Masar, give over, Zivahu. Right? So the rest of the Masorah is all talked about in terms of the students. Right? So whereas by most related to the Shimon Zakenim, where there it's talking about Mitzat Moshe Rabbeinu, the teacher, he taught it. And then by Yeshua, Masar and Sivah. Right? Okay, so we're gathering the clues. Okay. That's a good start, right? So clearly Yeshua was different than everyone else. But you go further. So Elazar Pinchas and Yeshua, as that group, Yeshua appears, But that group must be different than the Shimon Zakenim, right? And even more so, the Shimon Zakenim must be different than what about the rest of Bnei Yisrael, right? So doesn't everybody have to learn halacha? Everybody has to learn the Torah. You might point out there's a problem here. In other words, it's true. It's nice to say it's different, but it certainly seems to be the same. But I think it's still a good first move. In other words, I think you're going to be forced into saying there must be something different. I mean, we have to discover what it is, right? Of course, I mean, it seems like it's not, but we have to discover. In other words, one approach to tackling this might be try to see what's really the difference between Shimon Zakenim, then you have a group of three individuals, like, what's this? Three of it, and then Yeshua. It would be a little easier if it was just Shimon Zakenim and Yeshua, then you have this middle group, right? Okay, you want to see each group, one group is higher than the other,
yeah.
Alright? But in what way is it higher, right? In precisely what way is it higher? In other words, because you still have to go back to the original problem, so, I mean, of course, you always have this situation where some people will understand things better than other people, and not everybody has the same level of wisdom, right? So what precisely is the superiority of each of them. I think that's another good move. In other words, one, you say it's different, and I think it's reasonable to say that each step of the way would be superior. I think that's a reasonable assumption. It's an assumption, but I think it's reasonable, right?
Also, the size
is just more and more selective, so it's another raya to what you would be saying, yeah.
What exactly is the King Robin?
The King Robin afterwards that learned it from that Moshe Rabbeinu, who was the Zakenim, where is that?
Moshe Rabbeinu.
Right. Zakenim Rabbeinu is the Moshe Rabbeinu. It seems different than the other Zakenim. Yeah, the other Zakenim seems to be the idea of the Faisdom of Shivim, right? And the Zakenim, it seems there's a stretch of period of the transmission of the Torah that for some reason the Rambam does not enumerate each individual in the transmission of the Torah. And I think the Rambam, just to compare the Rambam to Pirkei Avos, so the Rambam in Pirkei Avos just says, Moshe Rabbeinu to Yeshua, to the Zakenim, to the Neviim,
mm-hmm.
Right? And then it brings you up to date, to Antichness of the Dole. But the Rambam chooses to expand the list when it comes to Neviim, where he gives you each one. And for some reason, the Zakenim, the period which is in between the Neviim and Yeshua, for some reason he chooses not to expand that list. I don't know why, right? Although we had that one possibility last time, that there was an individual who crossed over the generation, right, who was Pinchas.
Yeah.
Right? Because he said, Zakenim Rock, in other words, it was a funny kind of transmission. Right? You had a little bit of a weird situation. Because you had Yeshua. So, I mean, many of the kingdom received it from Yeshua, and then Eli received it from the Zikanim and Pinchas.
Who was at the same level of Yehoshua, who
right.
taught the...
So, right, so who is the Nafi this whole time? Was it the Zikanim, or was it Pinchas?
Mm-hmm.
Or was sometimes Pinchas the you know, the Nafi, and sometimes another guy. I mean, it's a little bit hard to reconstruct.
Do you think the Zikanim are comparable to Beis Din in every other transmission?
Zikanim Rabin seems to be more like each one was a nothing. I think that's what he means. Because here he's giving you the transmission in terms of the the Nisian on the right. So
there's
any kind of
nothing at that time.
It's hard to know. It's very
in the order.
Yeah. The problem. In other words, it's a little bit funny. It seems, I mean, later on, everybody else is Kibel, right? So who else is Kibel? So, what do you call it? Elazar, Pinchas, and Yeshua, they're Kiblu, Nimosha. So what, are we saying that each one was really a Nasi in his own right? And you can't have three Nasiim at the same time. You can't have three heads of the, basement. Right? You can only have one. Right. Because the rest of the way, whenever you say Kibel, it seems to indicate that they're the basement. Right? But, although not always. Actually, I have to take that back. Because not always. Because you look further down the list. Right? So, because he says, like, the five Talmidim of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. Now, those five Talmidim, he says they were Kiblu, but they were not all enough. Right. So I guess it's not. Right? So in other words, Kibel does not always mean that you are the Nasi. Sometimes it does. And also in the case of the Zugos, Yossi ben Yehoshua and Yosef ben Yochanan, they weren't both the Nasi, one was the top position, one was the second position.
Also there seem to be points where
later on you have the idea of person and his basement. Right, that starts, even further back, I thought. No, it goes all the way, back to, Eli Ubeis Dino. Yishmuel Kibel Me'eli Ubeis Dino. Right, V'Dabi Kibel Me'shmuel Ubeis Dino. Right, and then you have to base it all the way. Alright, so we're, exploring the facts a little about Kibel. Kibel seems a very loose kind of term.
That's one person learning from a person in a basement.
Yeah.
Here we have a person in a
basement. My insignia is so far, what
happened?
Oh, that's interesting. Right, that's an interesting shift. My insignia is so far. So it's after Ezra, so both the Nasi and his entire basement are Kiblu from the previous Nasi and his basement. Right? So that's an interesting... shift there. Okay. So, alright. So, you think Kibel, hard to bring a raya from the later, what happened later on, as to what Kibel was talking about. Right? Kibel seems to be a very sort of, somewhat loose term. I mean, we have to try to make it more so. But, right? So let's go back, right? So what's the difference between the three stages? Right, three levels. Well, now we're talking levels. Right, so we have the Shimon Zakenim, we have Elazar, Pinchas, and Yeshua, and then you have just Yeshua, who stands on his own. Right. Let's take the first thing for a moment without comparing. Right. So what does it mean? So it says, even though Moshe Rabbeinu didn't write down Torah Shavuotah, from the Moshe Rabbeinu Kula the Beis Dino the Shimon Zakenim. Moshe Rabbeinu taught all of it and is based in the Shimon Zakenim. Alright, so just taking a statement on its own, that's a good point, and it seems part of the point here is that he didn't write it down, but he gave it to Torah Shavuotah. Right? So, but he taught all of it and is based in the Shimon Zakenim. Now, and I would ask a simple question on this. I mean, didn't Moshe Rabbeinu teach the Torah Shavuotah to all of Bnei Yisrael? Right. I mean, what do you mean? He taught to everyone. Of course he taught it to... Mm-hmm. He taught... Well, Rabbeinu Kula, Rabbeinu Dino, which in this game, he taught all of, mushrooms and all of it, and his basin to send the other. So it seems there's some unique function of the Shivam Zakim, right? What's the unique function of the Shivam Zakim? That he gave over, that he taught the person about that, right? It seems one of the things that he taught to them, right? I mean, certainly the difference between the basin and the rest of the people, and the rest of the people, even if though they're chayav to learn all of halacha, I'm sure, and they heard all of Torah about that from Moshe Rabbeinu, but still, their level of knowledge doesn't, I mean, the basin must have a level of knowledge where they could give this. In other words, they have to determine, in other words, symbol case, so there's a monetary dispute. And they have to go to the basement to determine what the din is. So obviously what that implies is that most people don't know what the din is, they have to go to the basement to find out, right? It's not that they know more facts. Everybody has to know that it's a question of principle. In other words, there's two things, when we talk about learning, there's two things. You can learn the facts, you can learn cases which would tell you basic facts about halacha, but that doesn't mean you know the deeper principle whereby those facts are determined. In other words, the way that psak is given is when you know a higher principle. In other words, it's from principles that one gets psak, and the clearer those principles are, the more difficult cases you can have. I mean, for example, what we were talking before, we know a shikr can't daven, right?
Yeah.
And we also know that until the wine has left that person's system and they don't feel it anymore, they can't daven. So what about, can that person be mitzare to a minion, right? So that requires a higher, it's not always a question of more fact. It requires a higher level of understanding of what precisely is the nature of minyan. What precisely is the nature of the psul of shasur yai, right?
Right.
So those are principles. In other words, what you seek when you go to Gemara here, those higher svaras, those are principles. And from the principle, you can determine. In other words, the clearer your understanding of principle is, the clearer your ability to pasken will be. So if you just know facts, you won't lie. Well, it's more than a question of application. In other words, you won't be able to apply unless your principles are sufficiently high. In other words, it's a question of the level of your principles. In other words, for what precise reason is a shasur yayin not allowed to daven? It was determined. Is it a psul in this? Is it a psul? In other words, you're seeking the higher principles. In other words, you're talking about tefillah, so you realize, well, one of the highest principles in tefillah is the idea of kavan. Right? So shasur yayin is the idea of lack of kavan. Right? So do you need a mechavein? You know what I mean? These would be the ways that you would seek the answer to a psak like that. It requires a certain level of understanding of the principles which are behind the individual halachas. So of course, every individual has to know the basic halachas, but not every individual has the same level of understanding. And that's what's important to understand about Torah Shabbat Pat. Right? In other words, that's the process of Talmud Torah, where you're seeking those higher principles. You're moving to, you're seeking higher perish, right? That's the idea. Trying to, the highest level of principle is expressed in the pasuk itself, right? In other words, if you could see everything flowing through the pasuk, then that's a very high level of principle. That's most of it, right? But lower, or higher principle would be different. Idea of kavana, the idea of devash b'kdusha, the idea of these higher ideas. I mean, I'm not perfect, so I can't give you so many good examples, right? But that's the, that's the basic process. Certainly, based in has to be in possession of these principles, not just that they know the facts of the Masara. That's the only way you can pass it, right?
that principle that was used leading towards the fact. You can once you have a principle, it's not necessarily just a means, you don't know the facts. Like the facts come from the principle. It's not
you do have to start with facts. In other words, because you determine the principle after the fact, after you're told the fact. In other words, because we can't, in other words, it goes back and forth. In other words, you go from fact, you move to principle, and then once you have a higher principle, more facts become clear. In other words, because you see, the Masorah has within it a sufficient number of cases that we should that a Chacham, who is a recipient of that Masorah, will be able to mitzvonei, or use binah to determine what the higher principles are. In other words, through the process of induction, that's the way it always works. In science as well. First you make observations, then you induct from the observations the higher principle which explains your observations. But once you have the higher principle, now you can do deduction. In other words, you can follow through the chain of thought. What?
You can tell based in the concept?
Well, not
understanding of the fact.
Well, I'm not saying yet what this Lambda Motor thing is yet. But I'm saying one thing I know for certain now is Basin is definitely different than us, that's in Israel, insofar as their understanding of principles. In other words, it's in the area of principle. Now, understanding of that area, that's the kind of understanding that they have, which is superior to B'nai Israel.
But doesn't Israel also have to have that an understanding of the principles?
They all are chayiv in Talmud Torah.
Yeah.
In other words, they all are chayiv, but they're all chayiv to seek in their learning the as high a level of principle as possible. But of course, there's only going to be. In other words, the Beis Din even would send out scouts throughout B'nai Israel to find those individuals who are the up and coming people. In other words, people who are chachamim, who are beginning. In other words, they realize this is a process, it's a merit system. In other words, there's going to be some people who are greater chachamim than other people. Clearly, the Beis Din works on a principle of chachamim. The Nasi is the one with the greatest level of Chachma, and as it goes down below him, it goes in levels of Chachma. In other words, of course, you have to do as best you can. You know, they're not a Kodesh Baruch Hu, they can't know exactly who's the great Chacham. But it's basically in a consensus of peers. In other words, who's the greatest Chacham? You should be the Nasi. And from there, that's the whole system. You sit to the right, the left. Maybe we should do some of those facts. Let's talk about some of those facts. Oh, let's see. Well, you're right. In other words, in general, from day to day, these are rare cases. In other words, it's rare that people don't know what the halakha is. In other words, in general, people's level principle is sufficient. Because from day to day, I mean, what do you need to know how to do? In other words, the basic things you got to do every day.
Where a star doesn't pull down.
Right, you're like, well, it's much more difficult case. You're like, I don't know what to do. I mean, the level of principle is not sufficient enough. That's where you got to go. I mean, that's what a court is for. In other words, you need people who are greater from them, who have a deeper understanding of the law. Everyone tries to seek, greater understanding of the law. But of course, only a few are going to actually achieve that level.
As long as
quantitative. Only person who you would say is qualitatively greater in Chachma is perhaps another, right? Or certainly Moshe Rabbeinu, right? But in terms of Chachma, basically it's going to be a quantitative thing. You know, what this person a greater Chachma than the other person,
I can very easily say.
Yeah, that's the basic principle. The Nevi'im are qualitatively greater than us insofar as they are Nevi'im. In terms of the system of Halakha, they're only quantitatively greater. That's an important principle. Right? Well, that's the principle that a Navi is not allowed to pass the Shaila based on Nevi'ah. That's us.
Yeah.
Because the system of Tarsha Balta was given over to the Chacham. Right? So a Navi is not, in other words, that is one of the most basic principles in the Masorah. That a Navi cannot paskin based on the Nevuah. So Navi paskin, there's a whole Gemara about that. We'll definitely take up that issue more. And that is one of the most important principles. So much so that the Rambam in his Hakdamah Kuteish Mishnayos, after he gives you a little bit of basic background, he does a whole side, long discussion about the idea about Nevuah, Navi Sheker. Right? Because that's really the core of the idea of Masorah, is that even though the Masorah started with Nevuah, but it continues as a system of Chokhmah, and the only thing that distinguishes us from the only thing that can distinguish one person from another person in the area of Tarsha Balta is quantitative, the level of Chokhmah. They can't trump the other guy based on their on the Nevuah. Maybe what we should do is we should sort of go through some of the basic facts about Beistin, right? Like we should go through the Rambam, sort of give a little bit of an overview, because this will be important to answer this question, and also in terms of our overall goal of this year, some basic introduction to ideas of Masorah, Tarsha Balta, Gemara, right? So it would be a good thing to have a little bit more familiarity about how this body of the individual works, right? That's fundamental. I mean, we don't have a Beistin now, so it's sort of been forgotten. We still have the Rambam to help us out. So, Baruch Hashem for that. So, let's see the basic halacha. Do you guys have Sanhedrin? Okay. Alright guys, it's in the Shoftim, so if you don't have it, it's okay. I'll read it to you. Okay, so let's take a look. So he says in the first part of the Tosafot Sanhedrin. So he says, "Mitzvah Sasei Shal Torah Limnos Shoftim B'Shoftim B'Chol Medina U'Medina B'Chol Plach U'Plach." Right? It's a mitzvah from the Torah to Shoftim. Okay, fine. So he says, "What are Shoftim?" Eilu adayanim ha-kavuim b'beisim u'balei dinin b'ayim u'tneim. So with the shofet, so they're dayanim, or they determine din, who are set up in beisim, and people who have a din come before them. Okay, so, good. Alright, then, second one. So let's skip all this and stuff. So we are not chayim, we're only chayim to establish b'atei dinim. We're not chayav to send the Bate Dinim in every city except for in Eretz Yisrael. Like the only place where we have to set up Bate Dinim is Eretz Yisrael. The Din in Eretz Yisrael. Okay? But the Chutzlars, Inan Chayav and Muhammad based in the Chutzlars. But the Chutzlars, you don't have to. Okay, so now, how many Bate Dinim must the Jews have? And what's their number? So first one, alright, is the Beis Din HaGadol in the Midrash. Right? So here's the basic little system. Okay, the Beis Din HaGadol in the Midrash. And now it's called the Sanhedrin Gedola. Right? So that was called the Sanhedrin HaGadol. The Minyan Ram Shivra. 71. Shnemar Esfali Shivim Zikanim Zikne Yisrael. Interesting. What's the story? The Moshe Rabbeinu was told to gather 70 elders. Maybe good to look at that. You guys should look at that part. Why did Moshe Rabbeinu have to do that? Like the whole important part of it. The Moshe al Gambeyan, and Moshe was on top of them. Shem Rabbis Yafu Shan Ima. Harei Shem Yechvecha. So there's 71. Okay. Hagadol, that isn't what's important. Hagadol Shebechachma. The one who's greatest in Chachma Shebechula, Moshe Benoto Rosh Shalehem. He was made the head on them. The who Rosh HaYeshiva. And he was the head of the yeshiva. Interesting. This is what the Chacham called a Nasi. Interesting. Right? He was the one who stood in place of Moshe Rabbeinu. Well, I mean, he didn't literally stand under it. I mean, Taka,
like Moshe Rabbeinu was the head of his based in this guy.
Taka Tavoki Hargokai, you know, that's that chase. He was in place of, right?
What does that mean?
I don't know if I was doing parallel where I was accidentally called it the base Av Basin. Right now there's the Rosh HaYeshiva, the next guy is the Av Basin. Right? So, okay. The Shar Shivim Yoshivim the Fana Kapushneim Kimalah. And that's then they basically stand according to their age and their level. Kalagadabukhadar Bakhma, Yihya Karab Nasi Nismolo. So anybody with greater chachma will be closer to Nasi to his left than the other guy. Then Yosef, the Tama Chetzi Goren, the Chmuk Chetzi Goren, the Eagle, Kedishi and Nasi in Av Basin Ron Kula. They would sit in like a half circle.
Mm-hmm.
So that the Nasi in the Av Basin would see everybody. Okay, and then the next one where they had two courts of 23. Right. And the old not even Shnei Bate Dinim Shel Esther Bisholosha Esther Bisholosha Echad Al Pesach Ezra Echad Al Pesach Arbaya. Then they had two more, right? They had one by the entrance to the courtyard of the temple, and then they had one by the entrance to the temple mount itself. Okay, so we have three Bate: 71, 43, 23, and then every city of Israel that had 120 or more. So they had the Sanhedrin, the son of Yoshadas of the Shara here. They would have the Sanhedrin, a small one. Shemar of the Sigur, the Shemar of the Shemar, Kama Yi and Yanam, how many? Esther, the Shleisha, the Jal Yanam, the Hagadu Chokhma, the Kulin, the Ring, the Lashar, Yosef, the Eagle. So it was basically very similar to the Sanhedrin of in the Beis HaMikdash, but it was the Sanhedrin of that year. Okay. So, alright, goes on. But, there's important facts to, important clues to glean from here. Chokhma is one of the most important things here, right? So, I don't know.